Hello, this is Janet Michael. In addition to hosting The Valley Today each weekday at noon on the River 95.3, I also produce podcasts. And I'm excited to kick off season two of our podcast series in partnership with Rappahannock Electric Cooperative called We Are REC. Every week, we'll release a new episode talking to different people from REC about a host of different topics. We'll get tips for saving money on your electric bill. We'll talk about renewable energy and the impact it can have in our communities. We'll get some behind-the-scenes info about what happens when the power goes out in a storm. Don't miss out on information about community grants, scholarships, REC-hosted events, and more. Get every single episode on our website at theriver953.com under the podcast tab, or you can subscribe for free in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or on Spotify. Just search for We Are REC. We are in the studio today for a conversation with Casey Hollins,
Director of Communications and Public Relations for Rappahannock Electric.
I'm just going to start pointing to you because know what you do better than I know what you do. There are days I don't even know what I do.
Oh.
So kudos to you for remembering. Casey, what we want to talk about today is winter savings. As we're recording this podcast, it is late February. I will say it doesn't really feel like we've had much of a winter, but there's still a couple of months left where we could really get slammed with some serious cold weather or falling weather or any of that sort of stuff. And there are ways that I can save money when the weather turns like that.
Yes, absolutely. And you're right, what you said about not having felt like winter. We just recently, as a company, were talking about the month of January and how it really felt like Mother Nature wasn't sure if we were going to have winter, if it was going to be spring. We had some really abnormally warm days. And so as we're sitting here today, and you mentioned it's in the 20s outside, it really could cause people to not really think about all the things that they should be doing when Mother Nature gets back in sync with the season to make sure that they're prepared and are doing the things that will help them save money. And that's what we want to help our members. And a lot of people think, why would my electric company want to help me save money? And that's what we're here for. We're not here to get you to use the most electricity as possible. We want to help you control your energy use, use what you have wisely so that you can ultimately save. We practice a lot of these same tips that we're sharing with you. So in the winter, when it actually gets cold, the biggest thing that anybody can do to control their energy cost is through their thermostat settings. One of the most significant impacts you can have is by installing a programmable thermostat. So if you are not sure if your thermostat that's in your home currently is a programmable thermostat, take a few moments when you have some time, walk by your thermostat and see if there's any features within your thermostat that would allow you to set your thermostat to a specific temperature and to adjust automatically based on specific times. If you don't have a programmable thermostat, we encourage you to invest in one because that investment will pay off in the long run. I have a Ecobee programmable thermostat and my household loves it. My children actually touch the thermostat every day, and it's not to change the temperature. It's because there's additional information that it gives. So it'll tell us what the temperature is going to be outside that day.
Oh.
It'll tell us what the temperature is going to be for the week. And what I love about it is I have a control setting so that if they do touch it, they can't actually change the temperature. So I have programmed settings in place so that my home stays at 68 degrees. And that's the temperature that we recommend you to set in the winter. And so when we leave, when the kids go to school and my husband and I go to work, the thermostat adjusts to an even lower temperature, but it does that automatically. So when we get up in the morning, it's not freezing cold, but when we leave and nobody's there, we don't need to keep that house as warm as possible. Right. And then we have it set so that a little bit before we all get back home from work and school, the thermostat automatically adjusts back up to 68 degrees. And because it's a programmable thermostat, it does that very efficiently. So instead of me coming home and the thermostat being at, let's say, 65 and I'm freezing and bump it up to 70, it does it in a way that's most energy efficient. And by the way, if you don't have a programmable thermostat and you do lower your temperature when you're away or when you're going to bed and you're ready to adjust it to be warmer, only adjust it in 2-degree increments at a time. If you try to go from 65 to 70 all at once, you're going to cause your heating system to operate in overdrive. And in some cases, especially on a day like today, you might cause your emergency heat strips to work in overtime. And that's going to increase your overall cost and your energy use. So we highly recommend the programmable thermostat. If you don't have one, we recommend 68 degrees in the winter. And if you feel like you couldn't be comfortable with a home at 68 degrees, we recommend choosing the lowest temperature setting that your home is comfortable in. Mm-hmm. And if you need to adjust it, only adjust it in 2-degree increments at a time.
And that makes perfect sense because you don't want to, it's like driving a car. A car is better at optimal speed to save gas. This
right.
is kind of the same concept. It's just the heat or the cooling in your home.
That's right. Another way to make sure that your heating system is continuously operating at its most efficient way possible is to check and change your air filters as needed. Some homes have multiple air filters. Some homes have one location where you would change the air filter. So check the air filters. If they look dirty, clean them if they're the type that can be cleaned, or change them. Some people still change their air filters on a monthly basis, and that's great. But if you feel like the air filter is not as dirty and doesn't need to be changed, then we recommend that you change it as needed. But do check those on a regular basis. And I think you have a handy tip that you've done for yourself, right?
I have a reminder in my phone that reminds me to do it. I was one of those, and I learned the lesson of how valuable and what a role filters play the hard way one summer when our air conditioner wasn't working and the ductwork in our basement is open so we can see it, and it looked white. The air conditioner wasn't cooling. It was running and running and running, but the house wasn't getting any cooler. We had a guy come. We thought maybe it needed more Freon or whatever the stuff is they put in it. He did that and it didn't work. It turned out I hadn't changed the filter in like a year.
Oh, wow.
And the filter had clogged up the system mm-hmm. to the point we put a new filter in. Everything suddenly was running smoothly and working. And then with my conversations with Lewis, I went to the other end. I said, okay, so I change it like every month now. I change it like every 2 or 3 weeks. And he says, that might be overkill.
Right.
So he explained to me about looking at them and if they look dirty. So I'm on an every other month schedule.
Good.
Because that's not too much, but it's just enough. And a reminder pops up in my phone every other month that says change the furnace filter today. And
that's a great way to use the technology that you're using every day to help you save energy. Another thing about programmable thermostats is that they have a feature in them as well to send you a reminder to check and change your air filter, as well as to have your HVAC system serviced. And Lewis and Rich, those are REC's energy experts, and they would highly recommend to all of our members to have your HVAC system serviced at least once a year. Mm-hmm. That way you can identify if there's any issues. Maybe your HVAC needs Freon for the summer, and you would be able to identify that prior to that season and prior to having your system work inefficiently.
Well, because the last thing you want is for the first cold day in, say, October or November to roll around, you turn that heat on and it doesn't work
right.
because something has gone wonky in the summer
right.
and you just never had it looked at.
Yeah, and that happened to me. So when we bought our first home where we live today, of course, it was October, so it wasn't hot, it wasn't cold, we weren't using the system at all. But when it did get cold, I turned it on and it did not work. And so we had to figure out really quickly what we were going to do. And unfortunately, we had to replace it. But if I had had someone check that before the season started, I probably would have been more prepared.
And the other problem with that, too, is that's I've interviewed a lot of people in the HVAC business. They don't want to replace your furnace
right.
in December. They want to replace your furnace in June
right. That's
when
right.
it's easier. It's a whole lot more complicated to
right.
get somebody out on a cold winter night than it is in the middle of spring when
yes.
it's a whole lot easier to do that kind of a job.
That is exactly right.
So talk to me about air leaks, because I know that's a big thing. Some people live in older homes that have older windows. Maybe their doorways are a little wonky. Sometimes you close the front door and you can see just a strip of sunlight coming through. Those are good things to do to kind of make sure that cold air isn't trying to get into your house, right?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So one of the biggest negative impacts that can affect your energy use are air leaks throughout your home. And sometimes they're in places that you walk through every day and you just don't realize it. And I have a confession that there are issues in the home that I live in now, but based on having conversations with our energy experts, I know what we need to fix. So if we close our door at night and we can see the light come through under the door, then we have a problem. So that is a very low cost problem that you can fix yourself just by getting weather stripping mm-hmm. and sealing around your door. In some cases, you need to caulk around your door seals or windows. A lot of times people think that they need to replace their windows when really they may not. Maybe they just need to properly seal them by caulking. And majority of the people have the ability to caulk. I would admit that I might not caulk it as pretty as I would like it to be. But if your ultimate goal is to save, then definitely go through your home anywhere that you feel air coming through what should be a solid wall or a solid door frame or solid window frame, then you definitely have an air leak that you want to address.
One of the tips that Lewis had given me on a previous podcast, and we're just going to tell people to search for Lewis's name so they can go back and listen to all of these previous podcasts, is not to be fooled by putting your hand up next to the window, because the heat from your body is going to draw air from the window, and then you're going to think, oh, my windows are leaking mm-hmm. and need to be replaced, and that's not the case. Instead, use something like a candle
right.
or incense or something where you can see if smoke can blow in around the windows, that mm-hmm. that's a smarter way to check than just assuming, oh my gosh, now I got to replace all my windows.
Yeah, that's right. So when you touch the windows in your home, they're going to feel cold in the wintertime regardless. So Lewis is exactly right. If you're trying to figure out if there's a leak around your window, use a candle, use an incense burner, anything that has smoke or that you could see the movement from, then that would help you better identify an air leak. And I'm glad you brought up our other podcast episodes. So this past year, we spent the whole year recording a ton of episodes, and we did do a lot of episodes on energy efficiency. So if there's any additional information that our members are looking for that we might not cover today, then like you said, definitely go back and check out all those old podcast episodes from last year.
And you can find those at theriver953.com/WeAreREC. All of them are there. You can go download them. You can listen to them. You can subscribe on your phone so they all come to your phone. You can listen while you're driving around.
Yeah, I have a long commute, and one of the things that I love about my phone is the podcast app. And so I have it set so that my podcast automatically upload mm-hmm. and I can listen to my favorites, and I definitely have the REC podcast on there. So yeah, definitely please listen to our podcast.
One of the other things, and I know about this probably not from a good perspective, I'm very good friends with the local fire marshal, and he does a radio show with me a couple of times throughout the winter talking about space heaters mm-hmm. and the number of people that use space heaters, and they're not using them properly, so they're creating a dangerous situation. But from your perspective, a lot of times people don't realize just the cost. Even if they are doing it safely, mm-hmm. it's a very expensive extra way to heat your house. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I'll give you an example. So family members of mine, they were younger at the time, and they were living in a home that had oil heat. And to fill the oil in their system was expensive, right? And so in their minds, a more cost-effective solution was to use space heaters in every room of their house. They thought that in the long run, they were going to save more than that upfront cost that they would have had to pay to fill mm-hmm. the oil tank. But in reality, what they didn't know is that for every space heater that they were using in their home, if they were only using it for 8 hours, each space heater at a time, each one of those space heaters is going to cost $50 just for that one 8 hour period. So if you're using multiple space heaters in your home every day of the month, you're significantly increasing your energy costs simply by using those space heaters. And no matter what you read, no matter what you might see in an ad, they're not efficient. They're not going to help you save. So if you have no choice but to use a space heater, only use a space heater when you're in the room with that space heater, mm-hmm. and you need to make sure that you use it safely. Safety is our top priority. And so not just for our linemen, because they're out working in a very dangerous job, but also for our members. So make sure the space heater is at least 3 feet away from anything flammable. Make sure that you are only operating it when you're in the room. Mm-hmm. And to save energy, minimize the use, eliminate the use of the space heaters if you can, but certainly minimize the use of those space heaters, because $50 for an 8-hour period can add up significantly over the month.
Yeah, because even I have an oil furnace. So we have that, you know, when it's time to order the oil, it's like, oh, yeah, that's such a huge month. But you figure at $50 for 8 hours, after a month, I could have put oil in the tank twice.
Exactly.
And it's that hidden expense that you think you're saving money, but it's a misnomer.
Right. That's exactly right. And we certainly understand that sometimes that upfront expense that you might have to pay to fill your oil tank can be an obstacle to overcome. If any of our members are going through a situation like that, then if they call in and talk to our member service representatives and the contact center, we can help direct them to the agencies within the county where they live that can help them. So there are a tremendous number of resources, whether it's a local government resource or local churches and nonprofits, and they have systems in place to provide emergency fuel assistance, and we are connected to them. So if any of our members are going through a hardship like that, then we can direct you to the resources to help you pay that cost for your fuel up front, as opposed to tripling or doubling your cost for your electric bill at the end of the month. And we really want to help you.
And the cool part about all of this is I can track it. I can go into my Smart Hub app. I can go on the website. I can look and see how much money I've saved by just implementing a few of the things that you've told me about.
Absolutely. And typically, no matter what type of fixed income or non-fixed income someone's on, they have access to the internet, whether it's at work or through their mobile devices. And our tool, My REC Smart Hub, is a free tool for all of our members. All you have to do is go to our website, click on My REC Smart Hub, and if you don't already have an online account, then you just need your account number to create one. After you've created it, you can go into the tool and you can do typical things like setting up your payment choices. You can set up an auto payment so you can don't have to worry about making your payment on time. But the most beneficial feature of Smart Hub for anybody that's trying to control their energy use is the My Usage feature. And that feature is so great because it provides you charts where you can look at your daily energy use, you can look at your hourly energy use, you can see your monthly energy use and your annual use. And what we recommend is that you look at your energy use and you compare it over time. So you can look at January of 2020 compared to January of 2019. And then you can get an idea of how your energy use might have changed. So maybe you were entertaining guests over the holiday and that had an impact on your electric bill. Or maybe there's something, a difference that you noticed that you can't explain. And paying attention to that My Usage tool will help you identify a potential problem before it has a significant impact on your electric bill.
And then if I can't figure it out, I have the option of calling and talking to one of your energy advisors.
Yes, absolutely. So all of our member services representatives are trained to walk our members through the My Usage tool. They're trained to help the members identify potential problems. And anytime that they need to take it a step further, we have our energy advisors, or like I like to call them, our energy experts. And that's Lewis and Rich. And Lewis and Rich are here to help members to really understand how they're using energy, to find out exactly what they need to do within their home to control their cost. And if they noticed a unusual spike in energy use, they can try to troubleshoot that with them over the phone. If the member wants, Lewis and Rich can also come out and do a home energy walkthrough and identify things within their home, like we've previously talked about, air leaks, areas where they need to do ceiling, talk to them more in depth about their air filters or other things within their home that the member can do. And that is a great resource. And a lot of our members do utilize the expertise of both Lewis and Rich to save energy.
Sometimes it's just having that third person.
Right.
When I had the conversation with him at one point, I was looking at my usage and I said, I don't understand why I'm using so much more energy on Sundays than I am throughout the week. We don't do anything. Sundays is usually the lazy day. So he starts rattling off these things. And then he looks at me and says, when do you do laundry?
Sunday.
And I said, Sunday. And
he said, there you go.
I was in my box. I didn't think about that laundry was what it was. But sometimes it is just having that other person to run through that checklist with you that will kind of say, Yeah, that's what it is.
That is exactly right. So that's why they're so useful. So if you feel like there might be something going on within your home and you haven't talked to someone, then we're here for you. And so give our member services representatives a call. And then if you need to talk further, you can talk to Lewis and Rich.
And how would people, tell me one more time, how do they get the Smart Hub app on their phone or get access to it on your website?
So if you go to our website, the My REC Smart Hub is right there on the homepage. So once you click on My REC Smart Hub and you get to the tool, if you don't already have an online profile created, you just need to click Create New Account and make sure you have your account number, your REC Electric account number, and then that'll walk you through the steps. It's really simple. After you get set up with that on your computer, then you'll be able to see all of your electric information in one place. You'll have access to the My Usage tool that we just talked about. You'll have access to your billing history. And one thing I forgot to mention is on your electric bill that you receive every month is the same chart that shows you how much energy you've used on a monthly basis. So if you're trying to compare January of 2020 to January of 2019, it's right there on your electric bill. And that's a really great visual feature that we've added for our members' benefit. After you set up your Smart Hub account online, all you have to do next is download the mobile app. So just go to the Play Store or the App Store on your mobile device, download it, log in, and you'll have access to the same information right there at your fingertips.
And it's great because I can pay my bill from there. I can report an outage. Yes. I can see if there's an outage in my neighborhood. How long is it going to be till it's fixed? It has so many other uses.
It's right. Yeah, it's everything that you need to connect with us right there on at your fingertips on your mobile app.
Awesome. Well, Casey, thanks for having the conversation with me today.
Thank you.